This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The picture shows an anomalous object, Ray?
It does. And it's interesting because the object also shows properties that I, in the interim, had recognized by getting a lot of, and color to movies and still pictures of these objects. For example, these objects, they produce subtle multi-images of themselves around them and sometimes a multi-imaging trail where they have passed. But off to the side, often, I have this in movies from airliners. I have it, evidence of it in still pictures from the ground. They will produce what some people, pardon my German, but their doppelganger effect, the ghost image effect, in which there is a negative ghost image of the object to the right of it. Now, I can show you this in my presentation on this. I have in PowerPoint. I show example of this from my 12-12-77 film from 39,000 feet from an airliner west-southwest of Memphis, Tennessee, and of an object that came up out of the clouds and had this ghost image beside it. You can see the absolute detail. The ghost negative of the object is exactly the same as the positive, except it's in the negative arm. It's flying right along with it. Well, this object out there, right where the Socorro object would have been in relationship to the question, the direction of approach, here's this thing, and even has its ghost image, and it's amazing. I mean, when I discovered this, I think I must have kind of broken out into a cold sweat with a little laugh combining, thinking, well, you know, maybe those little guys are laughing their little green asses off. I didn't see this all these years, you know, and here all of a sudden, you know, the great UFO researcher after all these, 40 however many years, discovers it in the picture.
Why didn't you see it before?
Because I weren't looking. My only interest in the picture. I mean, it's small. You know, it's not a thing sitting there 20 feet away, and it's out there about probably, if it was the size of the more described, it would be right out there in the area where the highway was, where it passed over that car. And you know, it's not glaring at you, not screaming at you. I was just proud that I had a picture. In fact, you know, it's not large. John Lucas, who was our editor and the publisher, in fact, of the Socorro book in the U.S. Blue Apple Books, before he came to work, but he was a professional draftsman before he retired in the aerospace industry. And when he thought, you know, he published the picture in the book, but he just wiped it out, you know, because he thought John was a stickler for everything got to be clean and perfect. He was a fabulous draftsman, and he did just wipe it out. So there was nothing to it. I mean, you know, he didn't look at it. He didn't think. I mean, after all, I hadn't said I saw any UFO out there, and didn't until years later, and I didn't see it. But I say that I photographed it, apparently.
Well, so did Hynek.
Here's the icing, yes, Chris. Here's the icing on the cake. Someone sent me a copy, several generations, one of the Polaroid pictures, one side of the Polaroid pictures of the two that Hynek took. I think it was a stereoptical camera. Anyway, a copy of one of the Polaroid pictures that he took in that direction. And by golly, it's there. Not only that, I failed to mention, both in my picture and it also, back in the distance further, as suggested by Atmospheric Haze, there is a larger, longer, kind of cigar-shaped object, maybe a slight curve to it, that's up there in the sky, partly obscured by distance and atmospheric haze. So both of our pictures show his much more poorly than mine because the Polaroid, the resolution of the lens and the film itself was not, I mean, I'm using a fine-grained black and white film with a Schneider lens on the Argus C3, and so got sharper pictures, but they were taken within seconds of each other. And they're not exactly, they're almost the same place in the sky, just slightly different depending on where Hynek is and I am, and also, of course, they're probably a little motion of the objects. But they're both there. Both objects are in both pictures. And I would love to find that this was a fluke, but I can't. Now, I went to the National Archive hoping to access Hynek's original pictures. Now, normally, you don't see original anything at the National Archive in these blue book files, as they told us. Thanks to James Fox, who's clever as a fox, he said to him, look, see this guy with me, pointing at me? He said, he's in the file there. There's a picture of him taken by Dr. Hynek, standing right there at the by the land of the Southwest Landing Gear imprint. And He's in there. And look, if you can possibly get access for us to the originals of everything, this would be very, very gracious and wonderful. The guy said, well, normally we only allow copies of the originals to, in people's hands. But he said, look, come back in about an hour and I'll let you know. Well, when he got back, he said, I'm surprised, but I got permission. When we went through the file, we had the pieces of paper I'd helped Einick pick up and provided him containers for. We had his pictures, pieces of paper with the burns on them, right there in our own hands. Everything, the originals, the drawings, the notes, everything. We had the originals. But when it came to Heineck's Polaroid of the direction of approach or any of the others, they were not there. And so I went to the lady who was head of that section and I said, you know, everything else is original here. Do you have any idea? Do you have the original? She said, no, that's all we have. She said, I don't know. I said, I would have thought they were there. She said, I don't know. I said, do you know how we could try to find them? She said, no, I have no idea where they would be. And she sounded, and I'm sure she was, totally sincere. So for whatever reasons, Heineck's original Polaroids are not there. And I was hoping at least to find even if a copy, you know, better than the one that had been sent to me electronically by someone who had one. But no, they are way down in high contrast due to multiple copying, down several generations, in other words. So you can't even see the objects in those. They're so bad. But anyway, I have the picture, and much to my amazement, we looked like, it seems like we were photographing the same two objects in the sky. And more amazingly is there is a deduction from this that if you're willing, you can make. And that is, were they somehow, one could say telepathy, or were they actually somehow physically with instruments at the landing site, heard what was said, and laughing at little green asses off, as I love to say, said, we'll appear right there in the picture where they say it's the direction of approach. And it's there. So
let me ask you a question here quickly, because we have so many things to talk about, and we've spent almost the first half of the show on Sicario. And that is, this particular photo, is this something you'd be willing to upload so we can show to our listeners?
I'm waiting for the opportunity to do that. I want to in a context where I can show high-resolution versions and really give the entire story, any of the camera data that I can get, and every other fact, including the correlated photographs from my films. So I'm going to wait on that. Don't want to do that right now. It may come. I may decide that we can do that somewhere in the future. But let me also say that there was another strange event related to this that totally knocked my socks off. When we had been over at Goddard, we went through this whole fiasco about, you know, the cover-up of the zinc iron on the rock. Of course, I was pretty upset, and Bob McGarry was with me. We were heading back, and we headed back to Texas. We went through Socorro, and that's when we, of course, talked to some more, and he told us about the story from Heineck of the irradiated film. Well, I decided to try to do a magnetic study. I had no sophisticated instruments. I had a magnetic compass, and I wanted to see how, at a given distance from each of the steel plates to the dynamite shack, how the compass needle would bear, how many degrees, and so crude, it probably no scientific value, but I wanted to do with what I had anything that might have some value, and I didn't have any sophisticated instruments at that time. So Bob McGarry went high over there, and I said, Bob, stand there. I need to show the size of this thing, and I don't have a yardstick, so just stand there beside the dynamite shack. So he stood there facing me, smiling, and I took his picture. I'm just paying attention to the dynamite shack. We were anxious to get out of the heat and go get a drink at a restaurant or something. And here I took my measurements, paid no attention to anything else. But here, a couple of years ago, I'm looking back at that picture, and there are six anomalous objects in the sky at various positions back there, and two of them have a lot of resemblance to what Zamora described. I mean, they don't have landing legs, they don't have anything on the side of them, but the two that I'm talking about, the two that look like, if you could imagine Zamora's object kind of tilted where the axis of it is not quite toward you, but over to one side, but about 20 degrees, 25 degrees, but kind of like that. There are others, but one caught my eye that is less distinct than those, probably further away. It looked like the shape that we normally in the literature say we call a mothership, a cigar-shaped thing. And I took that thing and scanned it at high resolution. And believe me, in this case, I almost lost my teeth because there on the right end of it, there's an incredible object that is shaped kind of like a spherical object that then kind of stretches down part of like a vase that is kind of like it's plugged into this more elongated thing.
We have to do the break here, Ray. And then we'll cover this, and then we'll get on to other subjects. Ray Stanford with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Ray, describe this, please, a little more, and then let's move to other topics. Okay?
Okay?
Go ahead.
Okay. It has... on the side, you actually see a three-dimensional side because you see this, I don't know what color it was because it's a black and white picture, but you have a triangle impressed on the side of it. I mean, it's like it's printed or somehow panels of color on the side with a thick triangular shape open the middle with a kind of a dot in the middle of it. There's no doubt. I mean, you can see it clearly. It's there, and the object is there, and it has a geometric structure on one side. Now, you know, I don't consider these extremely important scientific evidence because we didn't see it. But on the other hand, they're not birds. They're not insects. And you can tell by looking at the pictures, they were appreciable distance from the camera of considerable size. But there's something that I just think you'd think about. I wouldn't put these forward as important scientific evidence because we didn't see them, didn't notice them. But all the same, it's extremely intriguing, and it makes you wonder if they are not investigating the investigators while the investigators investigate them.
I'll tell you what I think what you've done there in the last few segments is taken the claims of a hot air balloon being involved and made them seem obviously like hot air.
Oh, that's a good one. I'll buy that.
Okay. Let's move on to other topics. Chris, you want to take it to the next direction?
Yeah, let's talk about something, Ray, that came up in a conversation we had earlier today. And you reminded me of a very interesting a B-52 disappearance that happened in 1968. Now, obviously, with all the hoopla and the media coverage, almost, you know, wall-to-wall 24-7 for a while, of Malaysia Airlines Flight MH370, which disappeared on the 8th of March this year, you have, you know, I don't even want to get into that particular subject because you have a case that very, very few people are aware of that happened much earlier in time. This was back, I think, in February of 1968, of a B-52 that disappeared inexplicably off the coast of Texas. And you actually were, you and your workers at your job were unwitting witnesses to what may have been the Air Force's response to some UFO sightings. Why don't you, first of all, give us a little thumbnail sketch, you know, cut to the chase with it, about the event and then subsequently what happened after that in terms of the official option.
I have no idea or opinion about what happened in the Malaysian case, but I have
no, I'm talking about the B-52.
I know, yeah. But I have definite feelings about this. Let me tell it the way it happened to me. I was living in Corpus Christi, Texas, on the Gulf Coast at that time, Corpus Christi Bay. I worked for the personnel placement firm Snelling & Snelling as a personnel counselor helping people find jobs. And we opened our doors at 9 in the morning. And on the morning of the 29th of February, 1968, I was driving on the interstate coming in, and you have to climb up over part of the spaghetti to a higher level before you climb back down into downtown Corpus Christi. So this is what I was doing, and off in the direction, keep in mind, I grew up in Corpus Christi, I mean, from 9 years old, and I know the place quite well and a lot of things about it. But off in the direction of Matagorda Island, which from that location was 42 miles to the north-northeast, there was something incredible in the sky. There was a huge object, and if people go to your website, they will see my drawing of that. That the drawing is in color, but it's a colorized version of the drawing that I made when I went home for lunch that day, so it would be fresh on my mind. Anyway, here's what I saw. This huge object sitting dead still, and it has a curved top, came around into a very mathematical curve on the edges to a very flat bottom. And as you saw inward from the periphery, on the bottom, there was a dark ring. Then it was further white, and then a larger in the midst of it, you'll see in my drawing, there it looked like it was open. Deeper black. I mean, it looked like the darn thing was opened. I thought, I noticed, now I'll confirm this in a minute, I thought I noticed that there were little jet vapor trails that was way off in the distance heading toward it. And so I rushed into the parking lot, and I was working in a building, I think it was called the 700 building, but it's the brand new modern high-rise building in Corpus Christi at that time on the, what's called the Hill. And I rushed in to the office of Snelling and Snelling personnel who worked. And since it was not yet 9, we had about, you know, 15, 20 minutes before we had to open our doors to public clients. I said, look, everybody get out there. There's something incredible you've got to see. And everybody went out. There was a retired Marine Master Sergeant, Roger Lozano, and our front lady Rana and Betty and I think four or five other of the counselors there. And we all went out. We went to this big, clear glass window facing that direction, and we all saw the thing was sitting there dead still. Now, this was not a lenticular cloud. You have no mountains or rises on the coast to produce lee waves. It was not anything like that. It wasn't weather. This thing was scary, and it was big. But we saw, all of us, repeated runs. We couldn't see it at the distance, which it turned out this was apparently right at Matagorda Island. They used to, you call it, it's a broad sandbar type island is how it's formed over a period of time off the coast, paralleling the coast of Texas. And here, approaching it, they were so far away you couldn't see the plane, but you could see the little single-engine jet trader trails of jet fighters. And they would approach it, and Roger Lozano, who had been the Marine master, he said, those guys are making reconnaissance around the only thing, whatever it is. They're doing runs on it. And sure enough, they would go up until I imagine they got pretty freaked out at a certain distance, and you'd see them, the little trail, turn away and go off to a certain distance, and they would turn back and probably under command from headquarters, do another run. Now, let me get very specific about what this was, what I found out. Well, first place, then finally, after we'd watched this for a very good amount of time, this thing is there, and these jets are keep making runs on it. We had to go back and open our office to the clients who are beginning to arrive at 9 o'clock. And when I finally got bad hay fever, I had to go across the street and get some antihistamine spray at the drugstore. And so when I looked out then, it was no longer there. This is the big object. So I went in the drugstore, and they had the news on. And it told that on the night before, around 11:30, 11:20 something the night before, a B-52 bomber that had from Carswell Air Force Base at Fort Worth had operations going on there, and it had supposedly had no nuclear weapons on it at all. This was merely test practice runs, and they had new equipment and some of the new personnel, and they had three experienced people there to evaluate the performance of them. And what happened is, it was on radar, and according to the AP report and other reports that I've suddenly obtained, including from the Navy, this thing suddenly, no warning, disappeared. Now, let me mention that there were, it had come from Carswell, and there were eight personnel aboard, and this is an important case. I am convinced, personally, I don't insist, people believe it, but I am convinced that this object was grabbed by what we saw the next morning. Let me, as a kind of memoriam to the people, to give people the human view of this, the view of, from the human side, let me tell you who was aboard.
We have Ray Stanford joining Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
This is Kurt Sutherland, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Ray Stanford's with us on the Paracast this week with Gene and Chris. You were about to identify the people who were on board.
Right.
Craft. And please do
that's
so.
Right. And I want to mention, listen at the level that they're at, their training and their competence. First was Major Frank M. Salavaria, who was the aircraft commander. He was from Mount Vernon, New York, but they all lived in Fort Worth because they were stationed there at Carswell. Okay. Then there was First Lieutenant William T. Causey. He was the co-pilot. He was from Houston. There was Captain Charles W. Roberts, radar navigator of Alamogordo, New Mexico. There was First Lieutenant Michael L. Carroll, navigator from Brownsville, Texas. There was Cap John T. Pania, electronics warfare officer of Berrien Springs, Michigan. There was Master Sergeant Kermit C. Casey, tail gunner of Little Rock, Arkansas. There was Major Philip F. Strine, instructor, pilot evaluating the crew. He was of Mansfield, Ohio. And finally, there was Captain Thomas D. Childs, instructor and navigator evaluating the crew. He was from Muncie, Indiana. These men, well-educated, well-trained, are gone. And here's the follow-up. The NAS Corpus Christi was assigned to search for the aircraft. They were puzzled and troubled because it vanished on radar. It didn't go down. It vanished. No communications occurred to indicate that there was any problem whatsoever. Not any at all. And so here's what happened. The newspaper articles stated that the next morning that Air Force, that the NAS Corpus Christi was assigned to do most of the work. They were using their sub-hunters and helicopters and other things to try to see if they could find this thing, debris. Well, let me mention that the aircraft, at that point, when it disappeared at 11:30 that night, had enough fuel to have lasted until 6:30 that morning. But no fuel, no oil slick of any kind was found. No debris of any kind was found. But even the Air Force admitted that they, the next morning, had their own Air Force planes out boldly hunting. Well, they were hunting all right because we saw them making the recon runs on the object. My personal interpretation, my opinion, and it's only opinion at this point, is that this object was sitting there still after taking this thing. I don't know if it was showing a grudge. It was saying, hey, guys, you can't do a damn thing about us. But it was there, and we saw it with our mouths dropped open. The whole staff the Snelling and Snelling office in the building down there in Corpus Christi. And let me mention then that 9 days later, there came out an article. It was in the, I have a copy of it here from the New York Times. And it simply said this, and this article was totally erroneous, as I'll explain. Aircraft debris found. Port Isabel, Texas. Now, that's at the far tip of Texas, that little tip down there. Right, it would go right into the Gulf of Mexico at the end of South Padre Island. March 9th, AP, Associated Press, pieces of an aircraft. Now, get the words. Presumably a missing B-52 at Fort Worth were found washed up on the beach at South Padre Island on the Texas coast today. The Coast Guard and New Orleans said that the debris could be from the bomber that vanished from radar screens during a routine training flight February 28th. Well, of course, the NAS Corpus Christi, the Naval Air Station there at Corpus Christi, were the ones that headed the whole search. So I picked up the phone, and I called, and I eventually was vectored to the guy that was head in charge of the search. This is 9 days afterward. And he said, you've seen the article that was on the AP this morning? And he said, yes, I have. He said, and we are livid. That article is totally ridiculous. It is totally false. He said, we found no debris. He said, what was found down on the beach on South Padre Island was immediately identified. It was the seat cushion with the metal plate with his numbers on the bottom of it that was from a little trainer from here in Corpus Christi that had crashed down there on the south end of Padre Island. It was not anything to do with this, and that is over 150 miles from where this aircraft disappeared. And he said, if you ever find out who was responsible, who made the decision to put that BS, and I think he used those terms, into an AP report, please call me. I want to know, because that is false, and I want to know why it was put out. And he used those words, I want to know why. So there we have it.
Let me ask you a fast question here, Ray. Why do you think they put in something like that that is demonstrably false?
Well, it's very much like this thing about, you know, when people go out on the Internet and Google Socorro, guess what they'll get? The story, Linus Pauling's letter, the letter to Linus Pauling. They'll get that BS. Likewise, whatever happened to that big old bomber that disappeared up there on Matagorda Island? Well, some of the same, gee, you know, didn't you see that article in the paper that debris from it was found down on South part of the island, washed up on the beach? There's your reason. It gives a cover story. They had to know that there was a gigantic object of some sort involved in this because their little planes were making recon runs. I would love to see what films they had. We were watching from about 42 miles away, but even then, the thing was humongous. I need to go back to my original notes to compute the probable size based on the remembered angular size of it, but let me mention in reference that in 1974, there's a famous case that you know about from Iran in which a big so-called mothership was tracked and put out smaller objects that when the jets that were sent in to investigate armed their AM-9 missiles, their armaments, electronic armaments froze until they turned away and went back. And those radar trackings there said that the larger object was estimated at 10 miles in diameter. Well, this object could have been that large. It might have been a little smaller, but it was huge because this was a beautiful, clear day. And, of course, we were way up there in the Snelling, you know, in the 700 building or whatever it was called, and we got a good view of it. But this thing, we could tell that it was huge and it was distant because the jets that were approaching it were so distant that you couldn't see the little aircraft, just see their little condensation wakes, their vapor trails. So we knew it had to be huge. And I have to say, I can say with assurance that whatever these guys were reconning there, that was at the very site where this thing disappeared, it had to be at least, I would say, 4 miles across. But I think it was bigger.
Well, Ray, this brings up a really interesting point here. And my question would be, if something was hanging around from, let's say, hypothetically, from 11 o'clock, 11:30 the night
right.
before until 8:45, 9 o'clock the following morning,
right.
we should have a ton of reports from people up, you know, further north from Corpus Christi that would have possibly seen such a huge object.
We should, but let me go back to 9986. We live inside the D.C. Beltway. And my wife and I saw two objects, each of which covered 15 degrees apart in the sky. We objectively held our hand up and it covered from the end of the little finger with the hand spread maximally to the tip of the thumb. And when I went back with my asthma finder, I found that that it was 15 degrees in angular size. There were two of these objects. This was in rush hour traffic. And we...
Well, this is in Washington, D.C. Now, you're talking
this was
right
inside
the
Beltway. That's right. They were the most incredible things that, that either my wife and I have ever seen. And I've seen a lot. But I kept saying, as we tried to get back frantically to the house to get my movie camera, I kept saying, why aren't people stopping? Why aren't they getting out of their cars and saying the world's coming to an end? Here are these two objects, 15 degrees. Think about it. The moon, the sun, is only approximately half degree in angular size in the sky. These were 30 suns or moons side by side, each one of them across. And guess what? People are driving along as if they don't see it. Well, there's an interesting phenomenon that I discovered because we monitor these things electronically. It's known as ELF magnetism. And research independent of UFO studies has indicated that some mighty interesting things can happen to the mind when your brain gets subjected to this kind of a frequency. If it's in the physiological range of certain, like deep restful sleep, for example, that impinge on you a while and you become rather subjective and perhaps auto-hypnagogic. That is to say, where you can convince yourself of whatever you want to think. I think that now my wife and I were used to this. We've had encounters. We knew this. We're interested. But I think the average Joe who are around here, so many of them are government employees or government contractors who really had rather not step on Big Brother's toes, I think that when they see something like this, and there is this ELF impending on the brain, there's a possibility that they can become very subjective and, in fact, flush it. And
well, there's got to be at least one little 10-year-old kid that goes, Mommy, what's that?
You know what? Let's find out what this is first, and then we'll get the answer. We have Ray Stanford joining Gene and Chris in
the Paracast. We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Americans have always been ready to defend, to serve, and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes four number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, ground beef, diced chicken, white rice, and two cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get one case for only $179. Two cases for only $355. Or get 3 cases for only $5.15 and all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris, we have Ray Stanford joining us. He's a UFO investigator. He's also an amateur paleontologist, they say. And he's gotten really high marks for the great research he's done in that region, looking for dinosaurs and stuff. Chris was raising an issue before the break, and Ray, you were chomping at the bit to respond, please.
Right, right. Let me mention that finally, I called every radio and TV station I could find the number for. Nobody reported it, but finally, right over here by us is the country's most long-operating airport, little College Park Airport, the Wright brothers flew in out here. And it doesn't even have a control tower. But I called there, and the guy who was there, who basically runs the front office, he had gotten a call from a guy who had left his plane parked in the heat of September, and he had his camera with his film, and he said, would you mind going out to my plane and get my camera, because I'm afraid the film's going to be ruined. If you could get it in the air conditioning, I'll get by and pick it up. Well, he went out to the plane, he turned around, heading back toward the east, toward the thing, and he saw both of these objects. They were further out, passing over Andrews Air Force Base area, he estimated, at that time. But he saw what we saw. He saw it further away, but he definitely saw it. So he saw it. But see, had he seen it closer, I think the same effect might have happened on him, and he said, doesn't compute. This can't be. All I can say is I called up Richard Hall, who was a friend of mine in UFO research, and we fought a lot publicly, but actually he was a good man, a good friend. He just differed me on some things. And I called him up, and I said, Richard, I've got to tell you what you and I saw. Oh, my God. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't think I'd been drinking or something. I was crazy. I mean, this had me so freaked out. And here, oh, my God, if I'd had my movie camera on the 10th power telephoto, I would have had to spend several seconds panning across any one of these. They were so darn big in the sky. It was like something out of Independence Day. I mean, it was that big in the sky.
But you know, the average person listening to the show, Ray, and I'm very aware of this particular case, and I've also had cases where people standing right next to other people can't see objects. But right. You would think in a huge metropolitan area the size of you know, Washington, D.C. and the surrounding communities around just outside the Beltway, that somebody, anybody, would have seen this and at least reported it. Did MUFON get any?
Well, we did say there was a guy at the College Park Airport that saw it, but here's the thing. Keep this in mind. Not only is there this possible ELF, extreme frequency effect I mentioned that could affect the brain and behavior and cognition, but there is another factor. Reporting it? Mm-hmm. Listen, most of the people here either work for the government or work for contractors that are employed by the government. And for you to start going out and getting in the news media saying you saw, oh, this thing was 15 degrees in the sky and looked like an alien spaceship.
Well,
to me.
Yeah, Ray, I agree. I mean, that's a good explanation for a certain percentage of potential witnesses. But there's a lot of people that work at 7-Elevens. They're mechanics. They don't have anything to do with the government. I mean, obviously, especially now with everybody got their faces, you know, like buried in their iPhones and stuff. Now, you know, it would be a no-brainer why nobody would see it. I've seen photographs of 50 college students walking down a sidewalk and not one of them is looking up. They're all looking into their phones. But this is back, you know, a number of years ago. And you would think at least somebody would have come forward or clicked a picture or, you know,
well,
just
you would
had
think.
Something.
You would think. Oh, there are equally strange large things in the sky that I have photographed around here and found out that we had witnesses several miles away that saw exactly the same thing. That's another
right.
story. I won't get into it.
There's a number of them, Ray. The vertical object you saw while you were fossil hunting, for instance, is a classic one, which the photographs that you took are, I think, impressive. You know, let's move on to some other subjects here.
Okay.
We do have some questions, by the way, at forum.theparacast.com, where our listeners of the show can go onto the forum and ask questions of our guests. And, you know, I have a couple of questions here that I'd like to pose here for our listeners. And obviously there's one of our resident boober that says, well, Ray says he's been working on analyzing this stuff for years. And you know, it's not proper science to bring it out ahead of time. So why is he talking about it? I'm not even going to deal with those because, you know, quite frankly, I don't really have time for that. You do not only present your information to, as he put it, UFO elite. Let me just make sure everybody understands that. And you don't have some sort of exclusive club that is privy to your ongoing work right now. And James Fox would be a good example of somebody who I'm jealous of, actually. He saw more of your presentation than I have. He spent more time with you, I think, FaceTime, than I've spent with you in total. Well, based on your – this is a good question from Technomaj T, who's been a longtime poster. He doesn't post very often, but he asked some good questions. And based on your many years of research in the UFO field, do you have a theory as to the origin and purpose of these anomalous aerial objects, or UFOs, as he posed it?
Okay. Well, you know, if I had to answer that, I would answer this way. I would guess that there are multiple sources. There are any number of stories I could tell that might tend to back that up, but I'll mention two things. One is, there was a case that I read, a daylight case in Italy, and I read virtually the same description of a case in the southern United States, separated by quite some years, and they could not have known of each other from the literature because of the situation. They described an anomalous aerial object in the sky, is my preferred term, in the sky of a specific color and shape, and a second object of different color and different shape. And in both cases, you have the same descriptions. And in both cases, the one object shoots what appears to be a brilliant collimated column of light at the other one, and there's a flash of light, and it vanishes. Now, this
it sounds like some UFO warfare going on or something.
Is somebody protecting us from some others that are not as friendly? I don't know. But let me tell you a story. My wife, years before we got married, I don't know if I knew her back in this time period, but there was a friend of their family here, and she's one of 17 siblings. But she and several of her siblings had flown around the country with a guy who, before he retired, he was a U-2 pilot for the intelligence community. He flew over Russia frequently. Brave man. And they were out at my wife, dear, is an amateur astronomer before she went with the Hubble Space Telescope Project. And they were at a star party, and he was out there, and somebody said, well, Bob, his name was Bob McCracken, said, Bob, you know, you flew that U-2 all around the world at incredible altitudes. What do you think about these UFOs? He said, well, all I'm going to say, and I'm not going to say more, so don't ask me, but I'll just say that we had better be very glad they're here. And that's all he would say. Now, I find that extremely intriguing, to say the least. So it would almost sound like maybe that at least some of them might save us from some other danger, whether the danger is us, ourselves, or something else coming here. I don't know. I don't know what Bob McCracken meant, but that's an intriguing statement. And I'll say this, too. I've mentioned this before, and I will be ultimately, you will see these pictures. Don't fuss at me. There's a time for things. But we do have pictures from movie films and still pictures, and some of them are pretty darn good resolution. They're not portraits. Well, you can see inside the domes of these things, and there are occupants. In one case, it looks more like a robot or something than a flesh and blood. But in every case, we have at least five different, we have five different seeming occupants that we have photographed in broad daylight and light shadow pictures even. I mean, things that Hynek would have been impressed by. And why are there not, and I'll tell you, out of these, there's not a single gray in the bunch. There were some little guys that apparently about 2.5 feet tall that have a kind of a light bulb shaped head, but they're not grays by any stretch of the imagination. They're apparently are smaller. That was the appearance. And there are others that are, well, they're not grays. And I think they're coming from numbers of different sources, and some of them may travel in here together. Others may come independently. When we look at the age of the universe, you know, you'll hear astronomers say, well, now, you know, maybe, yeah, there are these things that might be coming here because we're a young civilization. But let's think about this. Let's think about a civilization that is not even a million years before us. There were suns, you know, way back before our sun was formed. And how advanced are they? I am convinced from the things I have filmed that these things are not, that we had better quit trying to put them in the little box of our 1950s concept of what I call the plastic alien spaceship.
Right.
These things are so damned awesome.
I'll tell you what, if they're a few thousand years or a few million years ahead of us, they would be. They would be like gods from outer space.
They would appear as magic.
Ray Stanford joins us. Four more segments to come. You're in
the Paracast.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Henry Ford once said, a man who stops advertising to save money is like a man who stops a clock to save time. Alex Castle here, the National Account Executive at GCN. I have the ability to customize a national radio campaign based on your budget while targeting your demographic. Contact me to find out how National Radio can help your business be more profitable at 877-996-4327, extension 177. That's 877-996-4327, extension 177, and help me help you bring your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2014 for 20% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.